I want to start out with a question for you guys this morning. Just to think about, don't answer yet. What is the mission of God? What is the mission of God? Okay? Be thinking about that as we talk about some other stuff here. For those of you who don't know, by the way, my name is Matt Coulter. I'm the part-time teaching pastor here at Whitewater. If you're back from the summer, you might have noticed that I am not Chad Hallback. Chad was called to pastor a church in Iowa over the summer. So if you're coming back and wondering where he's at, I know you've probably been back for a couple weeks, but you may have, not come the first Sunday, you've gone home for Labor Day, whatever. So if you're here for the first time, or returning for the first time, I should say, Chad's in Iowa pastoring a church there. Adam is now our vision pastor and creative arts pastor, and they've brought me on board to be part-time teaching pastor. So I'm honored and humbled to serve here, you guys. If this is your first time, welcome. If it's your second or your thousandth time here, welcome. Glad you guys are here with us. So the mission of God, we're going to talk about that, but first we need to talk about, because there's some folks here that weren't with us last week, because it was Labor Day weekend, right? You guys have some good end of summer barbecues, camping trips, that kind of stuff last weekend? Anybody? No? Okay, a couple people, few people. Excellent. Good. You guys need to get out more. Somebody who was here last week, catch them up on what we talked about. Pop quiz time. Oh, not the pop quiz. Anybody, what did we talk about last week? What's one thing you remember from last week? Intentional community. Oh, look at that. It's on the screen. Nice, nice work. Circle of friendship. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Paul. Excellent. What else did we talk about? You know, studies have shown that any sort of public speaking, church speaking included, people generally walk away with about 5% of what you want them to walk away with. So right now I'm testing to see what your 5% was that you walked away with last week. Some of you are kind of at zero right now. I'd like to see. What did you walk away with last week? Yes, the Renovare Six Traditions. Six church backgrounds. Yeah, and we have the questions of examine that were associated with them to help you guys to use as a tool to build community. Which, by the way, I heard from a couple people after the service that I misspelled the word examine, but I did not. That is a more holy way of spelling the word examine. So if you guys were closer to Jesus, you would have realized that. I'm just saying. Look it up. Well, I broke down intentional community into three parts for you guys. You remember that, anybody? Three kind of aspects of intentional community. Anybody remember what those were? Sharing life together was the first one. I'll give you that one. All right, and I'm going to kick it old school up here and use the whiteboards because Adam asked me earlier in the week if I had slides. And I told him no, because I thought I didn't. And then as I was thinking, probably in the toilet again, as I was thinking last night, I thought, it'd be really good to have some visual cues up here. So kicking it old school with the whiteboards. Sharing life together. What were the other two? Anybody remember? Good thing we're going over this again. Yes, talk about your faith, ask faith questions. We sum that up in a nutshell of sharing spiritual journey. And I know most of you guys can't see this, but I'm going to pretend like you can. That way it won't matter if I spell words wrong. Share life, share journey, and what was the third one? Engage in culture together. Yes. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because remember, we talked about the first two last week, and we said we'd come back to that third one, engaging culture together this week. So now I'm going to go way back, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, And we went through a sermon series to the book of Acts. And in that sermon series in the book of Acts, we talked about engaging culture. So somebody remind me what engaging culture means, what that is. Meeting culture where it's at. That's right. Not being afraid of culture, not running from culture, not hiding from culture, but interacting with culture, right? Not holding up a newspaper and saying, oh, look how bad it is out there. We better stay safe inside our holy walls here of the church, right? It's being a part of what's going on out there, meeting people where they're at. But for what purpose? Why do we engage culture? Well, we engage culture for the purpose of the mission of God, which brings us back to my first question. What is the mission of God? What did you guys come up with? To seek and save the lost. How? Save how? Excellent. What else? What other facets are there of the mission of God? That's right. Ultimately, everything is for the glory of God. You know, 1 John says God is love, agape love, and anybody who agape loves people has experienced God, which is an incredible thing. So yeah, love, loving others, definitely key part of the mission of God. What else? How else can you describe the mission of God here on earth? Right. I'm going to take that, drawing everyone into relationship, and make a churchy word out of that. Reconcile. Right? Because Paul writes that through Jesus, God has reconciled everything on earth to himself. Everything in creation is being reconciled. In the book of Romans, Paul writes that all of creation has been placed under a curse and is groaning, waiting for liberation and restoration to be reconciled to Christ. So we're going to put restore. You guys remember that part of the story? Thank you. Honesty points. This is the part of the story where God creates everything the way it was intended to be. Back in Genesis chapter 1, right? And then somehow humanity messes up and we lose our innocence. And ever since that point, that moment, God has been restoring everything to its original intent. And what else? Give me one more word here that we can describe the mission of God with. Spreading his word. For what purpose? Right. So people can come to know Jesus, so they can have a relationship with him, so they can know the fullness of that love, that reconciliation. Excellent. How about this one? How about in John chapter 10, when Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Or in John chapter 6, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and I have come to give life to the world. So how about life as the mission of God? All of this stuff paints a great picture of the mission of God for us. And so when we talk about engaging culture or evangelism or anything of that nature, any sort of that stuff, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about loving people. We're talking about engaging in the restoration of creation. We're talking about giving people life and inviting them to be reconciled to God. We're inviting them to be saved from the curse that creation was under. We're inviting them to live for the glory of God along with the rest of the world. That's the mission that we've been invited to take part in with God, alongside God. So here's the deal. This stuff, the mission of God, is easier to accomplish when you're in community with other people. It's better. It's a lot more powerful when you do it together with your community, with your 12 or your 3, so to speak, if you remember that circle of friendship that we did last week. And really, when we talk about doing the mission of God, joining with him through his power to accomplish this sort of thing, which we're going to talk on in a few weeks, exactly why God invites us to do this with him. But when we do it with him, through his power, with the people around us, engaging culture really comes down to two things, doesn't it? Doesn't it come down to saying and doing? Isn't that how we engage culture? We tell people about this life that we enjoy in Christ, and we serve them. We perform acts of service in order to restore the world around us. So when we talk about engaging culture, we're talking about saying and we're talking about doing. So let's look at the first one, talking to people. Everybody's favorite subject, if you've been in church long enough. When we talk about evangelism, right, people get the guilt trip. But have you ever stopped to consider why talking to people about your faith, about Jesus, about the life that you're experiencing in him, is so difficult oftentimes? Why getting into conversations about the good news that Jesus died on the cross to seal the new covenant of grace, forgiveness, and life, and how that's ours to embrace if we accept it, why that's so hard to talk about with people? For a lot of people here this morning, Jesus and all the implications that come with him are rooted at the deepest part of our hearts, the deepest part of who we are. For some of us here, that's not true, and that's cool. That's okay. We want this to be a safe place where you can come and explore and ask questions and just sit back and experience. But for some of us, we sincerely love Jesus. And it's frustrating to a lot of us, myself included, that we can't seem to talk with other people about that. And I have to wonder, maybe the reason that we struggle talking about Jesus with our friends might be that we're just not used to talking to anybody about the things that are closest to our hearts. That's what intentional community does, you guys. That's what finding your 12 or your 3 does for you. It gives you a place to talk about your hopes and your fears and your failures and your dreams and the things that are at the deepest level of your soul. It gives you a safe place to explore sharing those, talking about those. And when you do that in intentional community, when you're sharing life and sharing spiritual journey together with other people at that deep of a level, you share things that you've kept so close to your vest for so long, you discover the freedom that comes with that, taking that risk. And when you keep doing it, that's when sharing what is most dear to you becomes easier, then suddenly I think you find that talking about your faith with your friends or your coworkers becomes a lot easier as well. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with me? And by the way, this is what I do not mean when we're talking about engaging culture together. I don't mean tag-teaming evangelism, okay? I don't mean, you know, creating a situation where there's more of you than there are of them and intimidating people, okay? We've all been on the receiving end of that, probably. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about enjoying intimate community, enjoying friendships that encourage, challenge, and equip you to talk about the deep things of the heart. That's the saying. Now, the doing. I love the old instruction from St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. It's fantastic. Now, there's something mighty powerful about folks living in that sort of intimate community with one another. And to be sure, there are kingdom values that we can live out on our own, right? We can do some things in the kingdom by ourselves. But living life together is at the heart of what this new kingdom of God that we're a part of is all about. There are literally dozens of encouragements through the New Testament of how we are supposed to interact with one another, right? Love one another, serve one another, honor one another, encourage one another, teach one another, admonish one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another, live at peace with one another, serve one another. And the list goes on and on and on. You almost get the idea that this might have been an important foundational element of the kingdom of God. One anothering. Here's the awesome side effect of doing that, of living in community in that way. It catches people's eyes. It makes them stop for a moment and consider this Jesus thing a lot more powerfully, oftentimes, than a single person living out kingdom values alone could. Right? Let me put it this way. Which is more likely to catch somebody's attention? Hey, there's a guy who never uses a cuss word. Or, hey, there's a group of people who really love and care and take care of one another. Right? Can you imagine a community of folks who are living out all of those one another's that I just mentioned? Go do it. Go do it. Be equipped to go do it, you guys. Go be the church together. And because of all the ways that we can live out the kingdom values by ourselves, there's one thing that we cannot do ourselves, and that's model intentional community. That's what will catch people's eye. We were meant to do this together. See, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is a vast collection of Jesus' teachings, in Matthew chapter 5, he says some pretty familiar words to some of us. He says, you are the salt of the world. But when has a single grain of salt ever seasoned anything? He says, you're a city on a hill. You can't have a city with only one person. Buford tried it. And it didn't work. You're a city. You're not Buford. Go be a city on a hill. So that's kind of the passive way of engaging culture together by doing things, right? You one another with one another. You build this intimate community and you care for each other and you love one another. You be salt of the earth together. You be a city on a hill together. That's the passive way, right? And then you wait for somebody to notice that. There's active ways of doing it as well, right? You get together, you pool your resources as a community, and you do things that you're not able to do by yourself. You do service projects. You pool your money to help somebody out, to pay their rent for a month or to fill their car with gas. You go around and rake leaves for free here in a couple weeks. You go around and shovel snow for people for free here in a couple weeks. Right? You imagine this group of friends doing this together. Doesn't it sound beautiful, you guys? You go and fix up a park. Or you fix up somebody's house together. You sponsor a clean water project together. The possibilities go as far as your imagination and your group brainstorming sessions will carry you. You engage culture by doing active things. And so as you go about building community, through small groups at Whitewater or through whatever other way, through inviting people to lunch, through inviting people to go watch the games, which hopefully you have DVR'd. As you go about building community, which, by the way, takes longer. It's a long-term process, you guys. So don't be discouraged if it hasn't happened for you in the past week since we brought this subject up. Right? I'd be surprised and worried if it did happen that quickly. But as you do this long term, as you build these kind of relationships, keep in mind the mission of God and work together to restore, to reconcile, to love, to give life together with your closest friends, because it's more powerful that way, it's more effective that way, it's more fun that way, it's easier that way, it's easier to be courageous, strong. It's easier to give life that way because you have more of it to give. So guys, as we put the bookend on this 3-week series of intentional community, I want to encourage you. Take a look at these boards up here so they're not going to waste. Find some folks to share life with. Find some folks to share a spiritual journey with. There's still some extra handouts from last week out on the table in the foyer. If you missed those questions of examine or the circle of friendship, and ask somebody to explain what that means to you. And then engage culture together, either by saying or by doing, actively or passively. And enjoy the life that is found in that kind of community and enjoy giving that life away to other people. Let's pray, guys. God, thank you for making us. Thank you for making us in your image, which means that we were created for community. We were created to enjoy community just like you do as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that the people of Whitewater, that we would all just find that community with one another and that we would be a powerful force for restoration and life in Laramie, God, that you would bless us with that so that we can be a blessing to other people. God, I pray for your supernatural move to make that happen here. And as we leave here, give people the courage and the understanding necessary to take steps towards that, God. We offer ourselves to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.